Okay, so the diagram, it's stored on this phone, and boy, how do I describe it? So we have, imagine that you have like a little circle floating off in the diagram, and that's heaven. Then we have this other thing where it's I call it the nexus. It's where all of the matter and energy in the universe is condensed into a single point. And from that point comes the Big Bang. And from the Big Bang, time moves forward in the universe to the point where we have the Big Crunch, which leads back to that same point. So that's why I call it the nexus, because once it leads back to that same point, time is essentially erased. The only time that actually exists to record the fact that, an iteration of the universe has occurred is in heaven. So we have heaven there moving forward in time constantly. No matter what happens in the universe cycles through from the nexus to the Big Bang, through all of time and the evolution of all of time and space to its ultimate demise in the Big Crunch and, again, the Big Bang. But time and space break down at the Big Crunch, and time and space come into existence through the Big Bang. And so near the Big Crunch and the Big Bang, time and space themselves are not a well-defined thing. But heaven exists independent of those, and heaven has its own time. It has no space. It has, or infinite space, whatever you want to think of that, there, because it's not a physical plane, but it does have time in a physical sense. And so that time moves on, independent of the universe and the iterations of the universe. So this diagram basically looks like two circles. One circle is the universe, where we go from the Big Bang, where we go from the nexus to the Big Bang, and we cycle around, and we get to the Big Crunch. We're at the nexus, and we go to the Big Bang, and the universe just keeps cycling around like that forever. And that is apparently how the angels dreamed it to be, that they really couldn't dream it to be anything that was beyond, say, logic, in a sense. I mean, even fantasy, whatever fantasy you're talking about, has to have some sort of logic or pattern to it. There has to be some way of saying that this thing does this and this other thing does this, and there's some reason for something or some causality or whatever. So this sort of makes sense, because there's not that many other things that they could do with the physical laws that they had created in that sense. So anyway, we look at this diagram. So we have the universe. It's a circle, basically. It just cycles around from Big Bang to Big Crunch. And there's all of time and space. And it just keeps going and going. And that point from where it starts and ends, since time and space itself breaks down, is always the same point, even though all the iterations continue. That point is always the same because time and space itself has broken down. So time and space all break down to that same point. That's why I call it the nexus. And so that is the point in which heaven connects to the universe. And when people die, they pass through the nexus and they arrive in heaven. And by saying they pass through the nexus is like, I mean, saying like they pass through some kind of wormhole type thing. You know, there's no physical, what do you call it? You know, they're not walking a million miles or a million billion years or whatever to get to this. But according to these notes, when they reach the nexus, though, they come to heaven at the point of the end of the universe that they had lived in. So I'm not even sure of the full implications of that or why that would be. According to these notes here, an angel has a dream. They pick a time in this circle. So we see a line coming out from the circle that represents heaven, and it goes to a point on the circle that represents the universe. And this would be the universe as it is, as at the iteration that it's at the time in heaven that the angel starts this particular dream. So that could be different. I mean, they could, different angels or the same angel could iterate into the same time and person, but if it's different iterations of that universe, then it's it could be different, which is, you know, getting to the whole reliving life thing. Because as far as I know, the angels do not have control over you know, much more than choosing. Actually, what do they have control over? As far as I know, I've not been told what they have control over. I don't think they have control over anything other than like a relative time, maybe. I know that they're able to pick times because there's times when humans did not exist, so you can't choose that time. And there's times when humans existed in a very rudimentary fashion, and I suppose you could choose to be some animal on some remote planet. You could just be anything, whatever. But all of this is that I've been talking about is just trying to focus on humans and Earth, just to keep it simple, because that's what all the other religions are focusing on, I think. I guess they like to talk about the universe, but they're so old that like they don't even know what they're talking about when they say the universe. Like, have they looked at the farthest reaches of what the Hubble telescope could show them, or Chandra, or the other telescopes? I mean, have they even seen the surface of the sun? That's a pretty powerful thing when you think about it, to know that you have seen the surface of the sun. You've seen the other planets that are in this solar system. We basically, you know, tossed a rock over into the other pond. We've sent probes onto the next planet over and explored that planet. We sent our own people onto the rock orbiting our planet. And, I mean, you could say this is all belief. All the stuff I've been saying is, you know, completely out there compared to the facts of space travel, because it's well documented in the news, literature, radio, actual witnesses, video footage. You know, we can use telescopes and look at Mars and see the Mars probe there and the moon. So anyway, getting off topic here on the diagram. The corner of this diagram says time P loops at the nexus. Time H goes on ad infinitum. Oh, so they're saying that the heaven time just goes forever. And I see it, time H, it's an arrow pointing to infinity. And time P is the physical time, I suppose, and it loops, resets once it gets to the big crunch, and the big bang happens, and essentially just happens the same way every time. Or not, I suppose. I mean, but if it didn't happen the same way, then it wouldn't be the same universe. So it's essentially locked in by all of the angels that are currently dreaming. We can't override an angel's dream. Or we can't, and neither can we override an angel's memory. So, so I guess that means that the angels are always essentially going into the same universe, because it's always the same universe, but it's always different, because there's always some angels that still have dreams going. And so as long as that's happening, it keeps the universe somewhat consistent. The all of the dreamers are, you know, without realizing it, reinforcing each other and reinforcing each other's belief in the way that the universe is, thereby making it be that way. And, you know, the new ones come before the others leave, and it's never empty. And it couldn't be empty, because if it became empty, it would just cease to exist, and the Council of Angels and whoever it took to create it in the first place would have to start over and recreate it. Or maybe it wouldn't even be that hard. Maybe it would just be a matter of, you know, one angel having a dream. But I'm not sure what that dream would be like. You know, we're talking about, imagine if an angel can do anything and be anything and have anything in heaven. It's essentially completely omnipotent, like with all the powers of like infinite wishes from a genie. Why would they have this dream? They want to experience limitation, but the first person, the first angel who decides to experience limitation is alone. And I can't really imagine what would be more limited than that. What would that be like? Would they just come into existence as an entity of with nothing? So that's why I'm pretty sure that the Council of Angels are the ones who formed the universe in the first place. They, some group of angels, basically, which would later be deemed the Council of Angels, decided that they would all do this at the same time to start the process. And that, I believe that's what it would always take. If every angel were to wake up, then a whole group of angels would have to cooperate and work together to go back to sleep to recreate the universe. And and if they want there to be conscious beings in that universe, then they're going to have to do it they have to recreate it in a way that there are physical laws that do not negate life. Now, there could be different types of universes that we can't conceive of that have different physical laws. Maybe. It would be harder to prove that there aren't than it is to prove that there, well, in either case, I can't prove either that there is or there aren't, but, you know, it has essentially been proven that the physical laws that we have for our universe are essentially the only set of physical laws that would allow our universe to be anything like what we understand it to be. Now, that's not to say that a universe with different physical laws couldn't exist and couldn't be conceivable to the beings that came to be in that universe, but it's completely incompatible with us. So, anyway, I'm rambling, but that is why all of this that I'm talking about is just focusing on the most simple version of this when I talk about universe, because there are probably other universes, and maybe there are other councils of angels that preside over those types of universes. And some of this might have to do with the 10 dimensions, because you get into the superstring theory and the 10 dimensions, we get into some crazy variations. Like, you know, we have we start out with like all of the variations in space, all of every point in the universe. Then you have every point in the universe at every point in time. And then you have all of those points at every variation of the beginning of the universe. And then it just keeps going from there into different universes that completely different physical laws that we couldn't even conceive of. And I'm quoting, I wish I could say the specific author, that the physicists believe that super strings vibrating in the 10th dimension are creating all of the physical phenomena that we experience throughout our universe and our time, and all of the past and present, and all of the potential alternate universes and alternate timelines, and all of that, which is a lot. And according to this diagram, heaven still would be somewhere outside of that. But for us, in the dimension that we're in the version of the universe that we're in, it's hard to imagine, like, once we go to heaven, we can imagine all these different dimensions and imagine coming back into different universes and being different. Well, I mean, we can't, but angels can. We can relive our own lives until we're satisfied with the outcome of our life, if the angel allows it. But the angels could pick any universe. They don't have to be human or even be in the universe where humans exist. You know, they could, you know, choose to dream up of other universes, but they have to exist in some sense by being created by some initial group who has decided, agreed upon the fact that they're going to be in that universe, and then from that the universe evolves, and our universe is one of those where the Council of Angels of our universe started the universe by dreaming, and you know, they did not necessarily have the luxury, I suppose, of dreaming themselves to be people, and they, I suppose, dreamed, you know, things like huge solar, interstellar type phenomena, but as more dreamers were able to come, they were able to dream up more variation in that, and to the point where there was enough that life could evolve.